Well, from Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is, to Psalm 139, and if you would turn in your Bibles there. I've been looking at a question that has been given to me in regard to how can God allow bad things to happen. I guess if we just summarize the particular question that came in, how can God allow bad stuff to go on in this world? And we're answering it in stages. And if you don't know the stages that we've led up to at this point, I'm going to give them to you briefly. The first point is that we're all sinners. More specifically, you and I are sinners. Scripture tells us that God is not slow about his promises, but is patient, not willing for us to perish. So the kindness of God that allows evil to exist is the kindness of God that allows you and I to exist and allows our family to exist, that we long to see come to know him. So it's his kindness that allows these things to exist because, quite frankly, we all are sinners. The bottom line is all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, so the best that you and I can do. If he wiped out all evil, would he not wipe all of us out? So the kindness of God that allows for us to exist is a benefit to us. Now, I know that we perceive certain ones as being far worse than us. But the bottom line is that God is a righteous God, and if he were to take out unrighteousness, he would have to take out all. The second point that we looked at is that, and I know this may surprise some of us, but God is actually nicer than us. Our perception is that how could God do something and allow this to exist, being a sovereign God? Obviously, he's not too nice. And that's not true. In fact, Scripture says that God is love. So the point of that is that everything that he does in accordance with love is in accordance with what is best for all of us. Now, I know that that's incomprehensible for us to understand, but the bottom line is that he's nicer than us. He is doing good for us. God is good and doeth good, Scripture tells us. Every good and perfect gift is from above. We know that evil exists, but what he allows to exist and when he allows it to exist and how it's in control is out of his divine love. And I know that from our perspective, we would do things differently. But you at that point are saying that you're more loving than God is. I feel like I would be more compassionate than God, some people may say. But you can't be. It's impossible. God is love. And you know, one of the great passages that we read last week in Isaiah chapter 49, a mother may, well, how could she forget her nursing child? How could she? She may forget, he says, but I will not forget you. Within that passage, he says, and he chooses probably one of the most endearing relationships of all the earth, and he pulls it out and he says, now, even though these may forget, even though these may stop loving, I will love you more. So it is clear in Scripture that there is no one more loving than God, so whatever he's doing, though I may not be able to comprehend or understand, it is actually the best thing to happen. The third thing that we're going to be looking at today is that God knows stuff that you don't. There are things that we perceive and see this side of eternity and in the external, but there are other things that we don't see. And, you know, I oftentimes think of Jonah, the book of Jonah, and here you have a man that clearly does not want to go to the Ninevites. Understandably so. The Assyrians were a harsh and hard people. They were attacking his own people. God calls upon this Israelite to go and to proclaim salvation to him and to give him an opportunity to repent. Jonah says, no way, I don't like these people, and starts heading in the other direction. God says, you're going. And you know the trip that he takes back in the fish. Well, the kindness of God that begins to minister to literally thousands, and he mentions, I know hundreds, over 100,000 children that don't know their right hand from their left in Nineveh. Are they not worth saving, he says. So we see God's compassion that is far greater than Jonah's. And something that Jonah didn't know. Because Jonah, after he got finished going through the city proclaiming the message, which says, you guys better get your act together, you're going to be destroyed. According to what we understand in the book of Jonah, he goes up on the mountain and waits for God to blow him up. Because he thinks, these guys are never going to repent. And I'm pretty sure that he, part of his thinking was, the way I gave the message, they're not going to repent. But nevertheless, Scripture tells us that they repented. This whole magnificent, grand city repents. God knew that. Now we know that God sends Nahum over 100 years later and destroys the city. The timing of God and who exists at a particular point in time, at a place, God knows. And God is sovereign. There are things that He knows that we don't. Psalm 139 reads this way, and it's a wonderful passage that tells us that God knows our hearts. He has searched me. It starts off this way, Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down, when I rise up. Thou dost understand. I don't even understand my own thoughts sometimes. But Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path, my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Think about that. Intimately acquainted with everything about me. Even before there's a word in my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't imagine it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are like to You. For Thou didst form my inward parts, Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in Thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I think there's somebody that actually knows us better than we know ourselves. And God knows the hearts of men, and that's something we can't see. He also knows the future of the way that things are going to turn out or the way that things are not going to turn out. Isaiah 48:3 reads this way, I declared the former things long ago. He says this in Isaiah 46:10. I declare the end from the beginning, things which have not yet been done. I think God knows everything. There's nothing that He doesn't know. He knows what would happen if somebody went on living longer. He knows what would happen if they don't. God is sovereign in these things. He can see things that we don't. One of the interesting passages that we oftentimes go to is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, in which Saul was told, I want you to kill every one of these Amalekites. Get them out of here. Every one. Don't leave anybody alive. Destroy them all. And he says, I kind of like the king, Agag. I think I'll keep him. And so he spares the king. Not by any act of benevolence, but by perhaps an act of which he thought it would be better to spare the king. So he does. Of course, we read about the Agagites, a guy by the name of Haman in the book of Esther, who then turns and wants to destroy every single Israelite. Wants to wipe them off the face of the earth. We're reminded that God knows all too well what the future holds. And there are things that we don't perceive. So up to this point, there are three reasons why the Lord continues, and we still have more. But there are three reasons why the Lord allows evil to exist. One is because we're sinners and God is gracious to us. The second is that God is nicer than us, so that he must be doing something good. And the last that we looked at today is that God knows stuff that you and I don't know. So he must be working a perfect plan for all of us. Now, Father, I want to give you thanks for your sovereignty and for your grace in our lives. We want to come before you today and just apologize for the time that we have second-guessed you and perceived that what you were doing was evil. That's impossible. Every good and perfect gift is from you. We know that the world is evil. We know there are evil people in the world. But we know that a sovereign God reigns over all. And even the acts of the evil one, who is the prince of the power of the air, you have limited what he can do. We give you thanks that you are causing all things to work together for good to those who love you and to those who walk according to your truth. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.